Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
Darren Lehman said at Stumps last night that it was the death of Bazball, and maybe they slowly bled out on day four, needing 228 still to win at Stumps with four wickets in hand. England 6 for 207 and the Aussies just four wickets away from retaining the urn at the earliest possible stage in the series before Christmas. Corbin Middlemass alongside Jason Gillespie and Darren Lehman on the boundary's edge. Initial thoughts, Darren Lehman, before our feature guest joins us.
Total domination again by Australia. They were fantastic. I thought England fought back well with the ball this morning. And Australia probably one of the few more. Sorry, listeners.
A little whack on the backside from our special guest. He is the left-arm weapon, of course, from the Australian cricket team, in Mitchell Stark. Mitch, just four to get. How do you wrap up what was the fourth day here in Adelaide?
Yeah, fantastic day of cricket again. I think the way that Alex and the King of Adelaide went about it in his last innings, their partnership was phenomenal. So, great to see the two boys in the home game do phenomenally well with the bat. Kez in the first innings, backing it up in the second. Paddy, fresh legs, coming in, doing his thing, and the GOAT. He said he wanted to sink his teeth in, and today he's shown why he's so good. So, still some work to do, but certainly a very good day.
Mitch, we've seen some turn from Nathan and even Travis, but is there anything there for the quicks? Like, is there any movement off the seam or some keeping low?
I think there was a little bit more so with the harder ball. Probably not as much with the older ball. What are we, 60-odd over, 63-odd over our ball. So, I think it's just hitting that nagging length, building that pressure. Obviously, Nathan from the other end doing his thing. So, I think there was enough at times. It was certainly not the green nippy wicket that we've seen with the pink ball here in the last few years. So, a bit of hard work to get your rewards, but that's Test cricket, and that's why we love it, isn't it?
Yeah, and how are you going with the footmarks?
Yeah, not the most enjoyable thing. They've bowled around the wicket a lot and bowled on the side of a few mounts, so the groundies have had their work cut out for them, but that's okay. That's what bowling the fourth innings is like, isn't it?
Do you want to just explain to our listeners why it's so difficult with the footmarks? And you mentioned that they came around the wicket, but can you just explain why it's difficult for you to land?
Yeah, not just me. I think Scotty and Paddy from Nathan's Inn had a bit of trouble as well. Obviously, it's a day four wicket and it's quite dry and got a bit powdery too, so they're not very flat at all. There's obviously, when you've got different bowlers landing in different spots, it makes different footmarks. Their right arm has been bowling a lot around the wicket, and I so happen to be on the wrong side of it. So, yeah, that's okay. Sort of the way I bowl, I'm heel first, and it just mucks around a bit. But that's okay. It's part and parcel of it, so it's get on with the job.
So is your understanding you were on a second warning for running on the pitch?
Yeah, I wasn't aware I got any friendlies, but that's okay. So I was bowled a bit wider. The issue was I didn't want to put my foot down in someone else's foothole and roll my ankle. So that's why the hammer's been out a bit. But that's okay. I would just bowl a bit wider now.
But why don't they fill them in like they do in England?
I'd like to know that. I don't think they do that anywhere in Australia. Once upon a time, I think Tommy Parker did it at the SCG. I'm not sure whether it's that they don't know what to do with it or they don't want to. I'm not sure. Obviously, in England, they redo them every evening or every morning. So, maybe something for the grandies around Australia, but it is what it is.
Is it a duty of care issue as a player, knowing that you're running in at full speed into an unsteady surface?
I'm not sure I can put any more strapping tape on my ankle. Generally, he's been pretty good. I think, obviously, it's a day game, so we haven't seen a wicket like this for a while. I think in years gone by, the SCG's been the worst with the footholds, so we'll see what we get this year. But, it's part of cricket. It is what it is.
And when England do it, they actually get it quite right for the quicks, don't they? You'd like to see that, are you?
Yeah, they do an amazing job over in it's. I can't tell you the compound what it is, but they redo it every evening or every morning. I think when they do it in the evening and it dries overnight and it firms up, it's really good. So, I'd love for that to happen here, but I'm not a groundie and I'm not going to ruffle any feathers, am I? I've done that enough.
You gave a great insight into the lower order plans when you bat in Brisbane, talking about the KPIs and the 30 balls and everything else, and yet...
Hang on, I didn't do that.
No?
Pat did.
Pat did. My apologies. Pat gave the insight on the KPIs. Makes sense as the skipper that he'd be the one to reveal some of that information.
In one of his 55 interviews he did through the week.
Yes. It obviously ended pretty quick today for the lower order. What do you put that down to? As to, was it just a bad day, or were you guys just a little too eager to get out there and have a roll?
Certainly not eager to have a roll. I was still happy to bat and score some runs. I was not
you
out.
You got to start farming with a strike, great man.
Oh, I did it right in Brisbane.
I know. You were great today. And what are they
snogging? Gaz today. And
he's just not watching the pellet.
Oh, yeah. Well, then Scotty up the chimney. But that's okay. Sometimes it happens that way. I think we've been pretty good with the lower order throughout so far. So, yeah, can be forgiven for one hiccup. But, yeah, we're in a really good position. So
They actually look like they bowled better today, to be fair. They didn't bowl short and wide and wasn't cut shot city.
Yeah, I think they did. You know, they certainly learnt throughout the game or throughout the series. That fuller one's obviously been a more of an attacking ball, more of a danger, I think, than that short stuff. We sort of anticipate the short stuff being a lower order as well. If you're going to dish it out, you're going to cop it. So, I mean, you're allowed to improve across the series, aren't you? So, again, they did bowl better and got some rewards for that. But I think we're in a really good position.
Sleep well. I get the feeling tomorrow's going to be a pretty big day. Appreciate your time, Mitch.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Mitchell Stark from the Australian cricket team, and they're one win away from retaining the urn at the earliest possible juncture. So 10 days into the series, 6 for 207 at Stumps England. They still find themselves behind in the test match. Now, they need 227 behind. They need 228 to win from here. Jax and Smith, the two not-out batsmen. Jax on 11, Smith on 2. So 4 wickets needed for the Aussies tomorrow. There is a little bit of rain about in the morning, but doesn't feel like it's going to be enough buff to save England.
No, you wouldn't think so. I'm just recovering from my slap on the ass from Mitchell Stark, where I was trying to talk about the day's play. And I thought it was a really good day's test cricket. I mean, I thought England did really well this morning. Well, they get 6 for 36 at the back end of the innings and really curtailed that lead, because the Aussies wanted the bat probably to 500, sort of middle of the day. And then when they got the wicket of Duckett early, he went, oh, this could be over today. And then Root played well. I thought Crawley played really well today. And in fact, how many test matches did he play?
61. That was his 100th innings in test cricket.
And the penny might have dropped. Because if he bats like that, he'll make a lot of test runs. But it's too late, obviously. Tomorrow, you know, you get 2 quick wickets, he's all over pretty quickly. But 230 runs ahead, they'd have to not lose a wicket for half a day to be really close. But Smith can play and Jats can play. You've got the new ball in, 17 overs. You think Lyon will bowl one end, he looked like getting wicket all the time. And then Scotty Boland will start, you'll have Green, then you've got Cummins and Stark. So it's been a good day for Australia. They've guaranteed themselves almost, you know, a 1% chance England can get there. But yeah, the way they played, they caught well. Manus Labuschagne's catch was excellent. They've just done everything right. The only kick-up was this morning with the bat.
Let's go through the day and as it happened. So, first of all, Australia losing 6 for 78 from their overnight score, but really they lost 6 for 38. So when the first wicket fell, it all happened pretty quick. 10.4 overs, Head was out for 170, Carey for 72. And I talked about the KPIs there with Mitchell Stark. So Pat Cummins, as he rightfully points out, mentioned in Brisbane that numbers 8 to 11, the plan is that they average 30 balls faced each. So essentially another 20 overs from 8 to 11. Instead, they faced 33 balls as a collective, and the average was just 8.25 for the lower order today. But hey, as he pointed out, they got pretty good bang for their buck out of their lower order in recent times. So they all missed out today, but that doesn't happen too often. And then Australia set England essentially the greatest ever run chase in Test history to try and win from there. 435 was the target. We'll get into the England card in just a moment, but a couple of the talking points that came out of the Australian innings. Josh Inglis, it felt like a big day for him. He was obviously out for 10 today. He actually survived a DRS review. He was given out and had it overturned on 1, but he's 3 scores since getting recalled, 23, 32 and 10. We spoke to him earlier in the test match. He's basically in the team as a specialist batter at number 7. He hasn't really got away, and now all of a sudden there's a jam on with calls for Beau Webster to come back. Cam Green and Jake Weatherald a little short on runs, and Usman Khawaja, who fell out of the team dizzy, is back in it and has returned scores of 82 and 40. Should Josh Inglis be a little nervy heading into Christmas?
I think so. I think you're judged on your output and your returns. And look, his returns have been modest. Usman Khawaja grabbed the opportunity, thought he was out of the team, but obviously Steve Smith not playing afforded him an opportunity. he grabbed that with both hands, scored 120 runs over two innings. So there's going to be some discussions. How the Aussie selectors will go, I suspect Usman could retain his place based on that. I think they'll reward that performance. Inglis has to be, there has to be a question mark there. I think they'll have a discussion around Cameron Green and Bo Webster as well.
Wow. Gee, the Khawaja one will be fascinating to think that, you know, Inglis is in the team at seven, which is because Carey's moved up and he's done nothing wrong to move to six. So you think, well, Smith's coming back to bat at four. So if you've got Weatherald and Head up the top, the number three is Labuschagne, the number four is Steve Smith. Then what happens at number five with Cam Green? If Carey's holding down six, then essentially that means five and seven are swing spots in the lineup. If they retain Green and he continues to bat at number five, surely as good as Usman has been and really was here, are they going to move a 39-year-old to number seven in the lineup at this stage of the career when the Ashes has already been retained?
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
No.
The one that might come into it out of the blue is Webster. Well, not out of the blue. He's been out of sight for the summer. But they might go back to him and put pressure on Green that way. So the Khawaja one's up in the air. If they win and they're 3-0, 3-0 up, and we think that's the way it's going to go without the rain. Obviously, that shouldn't interfere. If that happens, then they might have to think, do we move forward? Do they say to Usman, look, you've rewarded for a spot in the next test match, but you know, we've got to start to move forward. So I think they'll have those discussions behind closed doors, which they should do, and they'll chat to Usman, and don't be surprised if something comes of that as well.
Buffer, do you think Jake Weatherall, they'll discuss his position, maybe move Usman back to the top and leave him out to bring Steve Smith back in?
Well, you could do. You're almost like George Bailey. We picked George Bailey in 13-14. He played five test matches, won all five, and made 150.
Yeah.
It's almost like that. But we gave him the whole test series.
Yeah.
We said you got the whole test series. I would hope, and I think the Stakers have been pretty good. They've been pretty good. So I would think they'd give him the whole test series.
Yeah, you'd hope
and then,
so.
Then they'd chop and change around that area. But he'd have to get some runs too, because he played really well in 70 when they were bowling short and wide. I'll tell you what's going to happen next time Australia play. They're not going to bowl short and wide.
Mm.
So they learn very quickly, teams, and you're playing against Travis Head and Jake Weatherald. So that's always a difference. So, I mean, it's watch this space. Firstly, win the game tomorrow.
Yep.
Have a great celebration, because they all deserve it. I mean, we're talking selectors, coaching staff, everyone that's been under the microscope, and players, because they have been under it. It's a big series, as we know how big
Correct.
It is. So they've all enjoy it, and then they move to Melbourne. Oh, it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah,
they got avenues where they can say, "Well, Pat Cummins is a bit sore. Don't have to play him. Bring Michael Nessa back in." They can do so many options. They can look to the future and go, "We've got to get a side ready to go for India and England in 2 years' time."
It'd be interesting to see what the conversations the selectors and Khawaja's having. What we know from Uzi, at least publicly, is he hasn't put an end date on the table. So it's unlike the Warner situation where he said, "Look, I'm going to finish then." Usman hasn't necessarily said he is finishing in Sydney, so it feels like the rest of us are saying, look, this will be it, this will be his last series. But that's another interesting aspect of all of it as well, is if it is open-ended on that front and he just wants his place in the team and wants to keep playing as long as possible, how that plays into the decision-making process. So target was set at 4:35. Australia got their turn to have a bowl and hunt these 10 wickets to retain the urn. Duckett goes second ball. Felt like same old story for him, out for 29.
He's been disappointing this series, because he's a miles better player than that. It's almost like he started really attacking Bazball. Now he's sort of gone, well, that's not going to succeed here. I've got to change mid-tour.
Yeah.
He's had three games, and that was a poor shot.
I think I just said he was out for 29 second ball. He was out for four second ball. His top score is 29 from six hits this series so far. Ollie Pope's had 16 innings now in Australia across two different tours. He's yet to pass 50. Fell to an absolute hanger from Manus Labuschagne. And Pat Cummins has got his man again. He's just in a rhythm against Joe Root. First time he's seen him all series, given the fact Cummins missed the first two tests. And what do you know, Diz? He got him in both innings. So 13 times now in Test cricket, Pat Cummins has picked up the key wicket of Joe Root.
And he's been brilliant, hasn't he? 13 times. That's an incredible stat. Got him out basically the same way, both innings. Pat Cummins, it's like he hasn't been away from the bowling crease. He hasn't had any crucial match practice, but he's an experienced campaigner, isn't he?
God, he was good today. 3 for 24 off 10. So he's world-class, superstar. I mean, he just gets it right. Joe hasn't learned. That's the problem. I think he should have just did what he did in Brisbane. He went into off stump and covered his stumps and didn't hit third man at all. Mm. Today, he went back to hitting third man and trying to run the ball. Just don't do it in Australia.
Correct.
So England took some wickets up front. It was Pat Cummins in the middle of the day, and then at the end of the day, it all belonged to Nathan Lyon, didn't it? And what he was able to do in that incredible spell, which caused chaos in the England dressing room, here's how it sounded on ABC Sport.
Lyon. Yeah! Bowls him. He went on the reverse and he missed it and he's been bowled. As I say, when you play those shots and they come off, okay, looks good. But when you miss like that, this pitch is turning. You're made to look a dummy, a real dummy. And Brook is out for 30. That's a big wicket. Again, he ran out of patience and maybe judgment as he attempted to smack that ball. He lost his leg stump. It hit the leg stump. Brook bowled for 30.
Lyon runs straight through Stokes. That is an absolute gem of a ball. Pitching on middle stump. And it rips out past the outside edge of Stokes' bat. He's knocked over, and Stokes goes for five, and Lyon with an absolute pearler of a delivery. Five for 189, the captain's done.
Oh, dear.
Lyon tosses it up again, he beats Crawley, through to the keeper. And Alex Carey does the rest, and Crawley, after a well-compiled 85, goes. And England is six down. Six for 194. And Nathan Lyon has England in a spin. He certainly did. A three for four. Nathan Lyon all in the spell. And he gets the chance to try and add to that tomorrow. Darren Lehman. It started with Harry Brook, who found himself facing up as a left-hander. He was reverse sweeping with success. And ultimately, it didn't end well. Lyon got the wicket and Brook was in an awful position.
Yeah, Harry Brook's a miles better player. At least he sort of calmed it a little bit this game. What did he get in the first innings? 45 and then 30. He looks a class player, but it's just the timing. It's the preempting of the shots that's hurting England full stop. I mean, he tried to sweep bowling again today. You know, he just got that. Yorker, that's bowled, that's a worse look. So I just think he's going to think about batting 6 or 7 hours. If he bats 6 hours, Harry Rook's 150. There's no doubt about that. They need that from their leaders or their class players, and they're not getting it. They're getting starts. And you look at the scoreboard, Root 39, Brook 30. There's your problem. If one of those guys gets 100, they're probably 4 for 250 tonight, not a chance to win the game. 6 for 200, ball spinning, new ball after an hour tomorrow. It's the other way.
Crawley's got 5 test hundreds, Diz, in 62 matches. No one's opened the batting more and averaged as few in test history.
Yep.
And yet he looked well controlled today. It makes you ask the question, gee, if he batted like that more often, would he have more than 5 test hundreds at this stage of his career?
He would average over 40. If he batted like that throughout his career, instead of the cavalier approach that he's had, he would average the same as Ben Duckett. I think Ben Duckett's averaging 41. So I think Zach Crawley, he is a good player, and he shows what he can do. When he tempered his approach, he just reacted to the ball. He looked a lot better. He looked a lot calmer today.
Let's have a listen to him. He spoke with Henry Moran from the BBC just a short time ago.
Well, Zach, a day where England fans were calling for some defiance, and your side showed that.
Yeah, we're never going to give up, but yeah, it's going to be always going to be tricky. You know, fourth innings at Adelaide, with the quality of their bowling attack, and yeah, we tried our heart out as we have the whole time, but it wasn't probably not enough it's disappointing at the moment.
Your own performance today, how did you approach it mentality-wise with such a big target?
We talk about this a lot. I think we've been successful chasing because we play like the first innings, and you know, I just tried to see ball and hit the ball like it's the first innings. We spoke about that before, and yeah, we tried to take the scoreboard out of it. That's what we always try and do. And I was pleased with how I played. Obviously, it's still fresh. I only got out half an hour ago. I'm still pretty upset about it. But I was pleased with how I played in total.
Because days like this, series like this, are difficult to keep your head up, keep your game in the shape that you want it to be. How have you done that yourself to play an innings that is one of positivity today?
Oh, we're never going to give up. And every time you bat, it's an opportunity against the a top opposition in their home country. So, we all saw it as a great opportunity to try and do something special. And obviously, they bowled well, and we're up against it now. But, we were never going to give up.
Realistically, the Ashes have gone, barring something very unusual. How is that dressing room?
Oh, you know, we came here to win the Ashes, and it looks like, you know, the boys are going to give it a good crack tomorrow, and we won't give it to them, but, you know, we're probably up against it. So, yeah, it's flat, but, you know, at this point, we haven't quite performed how we wanted to, and fair play to Australia, they've been quality throughout.
Has it surprised you the level of performance that Australia have provided, particularly given that some of their bowling attack coming back into the squad, some missing?
No, I hadn't surprised, to be honest. I know how good they are in their home country. They're a very good side in these conditions. And in all conditions, to be honest, they've got great players all over the place. And their bowling attack especially, I mean, I don't know how many wickets it is. It's in the thousands, I know. But it's, yeah, they're a top side. And we had to be at our best to get something out of it. And we've been probably just short of that. But there's still time to put that right.
And it's Ashes cricket. There's always something to play for. And that might be individual places. Ollie Pope is somebody under pressure.
Well, maybe from you guys, not from inside the camp. We all know how good a player he is, and we talk about it all the time. And I think he's had a really good year the last year, to be honest. He's scored hundreds when we needed him to, and he played some really good knocks. So, yeah, I think that's just talk from the outside. There's no chat like that on Ollie in the camp.
And within the camp, how is morale more generally? How are you keeping the head up, and who's making sure that you do?
Oh, listen, it's the time of our lives, really. You come over here and it's a dream come true to play in the Ashes away from home. And like I said, we wanted to win. I desperately wanted to win. And to lose is disappointing, but still, you know, you can't play at grounds like this and get two down. You know, it's an amazing place to play cricket. It's like what I thought about, what we all thought about from a young age. So you come here and you try and put your best foot forward, and against a good opposition, it's going to be hard. But, you know, it's a great opportunity all the time.
Those fans never stop singing. There's been real commitment from the Barmy Army, and you feel that today you've rewarded them with the wickets in the morning session and the fight that you've shown?
Yeah, I mean, they're always unbelievable. Whether we have a bad day or a good day, they always show up and cheer for us. So massive thanks to them, for everyone who's come out and supported us. But yeah, that's a huge reason why we'll never give up. And although it might look like at times cricket's a weird game like that, where it can sometimes look like you haven't put your best foot forward, but that's never the case. We're always trying our heart out there, and that's partly because we get such good support.
Do you feel that despite the challenges of the series, you can still turn what is left of it into a positive for England, and what positives can still be gained from the series?
Well, yeah, we'll start with tomorrow, show some really good fight, and you know, two very good players of the crease, put a bit dent in that total, and you know, we'll never give up. And then in the last two, you know, we haven't won a test here in a while, so it's a chance to win those two tests. And you know, if it can get it back to 3-2, and then suddenly, you know, it's a pretty good series. And you know, we were this close. Maybe you could argue in Perth and in Brisbane at times as well, we were right in it. This game, they've, you know, it was a huge toss for them to win with the way it's spinning now. I'll probably swap both tosses that we won in the first two for this toss, and Stokesy would probably said the same. But yeah, there was still plenty to play for always.
And just finally, this pitch, you've been out there recently. I mean, how tough is it out there?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, with the spin like that, and they set good fields, don't they? And they don't make it hard for you to score. And then, they, you know, they're just clever with their fields out here, and they make it hard for you, and they're obviously top bowlers. So it was a challenge, but if you have a decent plan, then it's doable.
Well played today, Zach. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Zach Crawley with Henry Moran from the BBC.
Well, he spoke well, general enough. I mean, I thought he played well, as you said. He's given up, though. He said they're not going to get him. I mean, isn't it funny? Because you talk about the positive talk. 228. Smith and Jacks bat the first session, put on 100. You just never know, do you? And Archer's no dummy. Cass can play, and Tongue's not bad. So it was surprising that he just almost gave up. Yes, it's starting to turn. It's going to be tough work. I'm not saying they're going to get there, but what I was surprised about is almost they admitted defeat, which is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I just found that the words a bit staggering. You're going to be 3-0 down. Oh, yeah, but if we win the last two tests, it's 3-2, and that's a pretty good tour. No, I'm sorry, you lost the Ashes. That's just nonsense talk.
At the earliest possible stage, unless Jackson Smith can do something incredible tomorrow. 6 for 207 is what England resume at, as Buff said, still 228 needed from here to win. Incredible crowds every day. So 44,152 today. That takes it over 202,000 for the test match. That is a record already. So the previous record was 2017-18, which was a five-day test. And before we even head into the fifth day, record territory here at Adelaide Oval. So $30 is the attendance fee tomorrow. So they don't pre-sale day five tickets, but $30. You can come down and watch some Ashes cricket. And who knows, you might be able to watch the Australians tomorrow celebrate retaining the urn at the earliest possible stage after the Adelaide Test, which makes them, well, there's no dead rubbers in Test cricket, we like to say, but essentially headed to the two holiday Test matches, the urn would have already been retained.
We'll have some fun.
We will. England resuming on the fifth day at 6 for 207. We'll catch you then on Grandstand Cricket.